Welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. And on the line with us is New York's finest, or better yet, Staten Island's finest defensive end from Penn State, Ali Ogbu. I am the Reverend Ralph Mancini. And Ali, you know, last time we saw you in the East-West Shrine game, you pulled out your full repertoire of pass rush moves. You know, you put on a couple of swim moves there that you used to get past blockers. You actually got yourself a nice sack on Scott Tolzien. I mean, you weren't known as a sack artist in college. Was that kind of your game plan going into that East-West Shrine game, to show people that you can even be a pass rusher if needed?
Most definitely. I think me playing just as, solely a nose guard position in college my whole career, that really hindered, me and what I can do pass rush-wise, because you always have two guys on you, or, you're always getting chipped and blocked a lot, so I was able to play a little bit of three-tech, at the East-West Shrine game, which really gives you a one-on-one basis for you to come at the guard and really show your repertoire of moves. And, I knew going into the game I was going to have to prove that I can play the three also on run and on pass, to be the guy one-on-one, and to show those moves that I've always had. But I just, any reason, with a game plan, couldn't really show them from game to game, in my past couple of years.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And because I remember, during your days at Happy Valley, you were a player that consistently used to fight through double teams. And I always remember how you would stay low and maintain your leverage. What would you say are the best parts of your game?
I think you're pretty much hit on the spot. I'm not a 6'5", 330 or 20-pound guy. So I think my advantages were, was that I was short and stocky, and I could really get under lineman's pads and really drive and stay low and really hold the line of scrimmage and not give up too much ground. So I think that was my, real strong point there, that and just hustling to the ball and trying to make as many little plays as possible.
Yeah, and, a lot of people have compared you to former Nittany Lion Anthony Adams, who is, playing for Chicago right now. And, he's been a 4-3 guy for most of his career. Can you see yourself as a 3-4 lineman? I know you mentioned that you did play a lot of nose tackle in college. I mean, is there any preference for you as far as, you playing a 3 technique or playing nose tackle? Any schemes that you would prefer there?
Actually, to speak more to Anthony Adams, he's, one of the guys that has motivated me and actually a guy I look up to, coming here, I just want to play football and coaches and people always compare me to him, but I haven't watched him on film yet, the freshman.
Uh-huh.
And then I turned the tape on, and it was lights out. He played, sideline to sideline, and he was a short, stocky guy just like me. And he would come up every summer and he would train with the D line, and I would learn all my little tricks and nuances from him. So he's been a big help to me and the player I became, because I could watch somebody that was my size do what I needed to do it. I didn't have to go out there and act like I was 330 pounds when, I can play, nasty and aggressive and stay low, So all the credit to Anthony, and I've talked to him, numerous times in the past couple of years, and we've trained together. And, that's just all, us Penn State guys just bonding together. And really, to touch base with the schemes, I could care less why I play, I just want to play football. I've played defensive end in high school, and I'm not a stranger to playing, three tech, because I've done it in practice a lot, even though I haven't done it in the games, so I can definitely play wherever my coach needs me to play. It's just me adapting and learning the fundamentals, and then also, doing on the field full speed. I don't have any problem playing in any kind of scheme.
Yeah, I mean, Adams has been around for a long time now, and not because he's the flashiest player. The guy just brings it each and every week. Sort of how you were consistent week in and week out. And, you're also known as an emotional leader, during your college days. Even though, your Penn State hit some rough spots early on last season, most notably, I remember that terrible loss that you guys had early in the season to Alabama. As a senior, how did you go about rallying the troops, telling the guys that, it's still early, we still have a shot to make this a good season? How did you exude your leadership skills?
To be quite frank and honest, I didn't have to do isn't that big of a job because we love football here at Penn State. You know, it's one of those things where you come here, you work hard, you know, you get the job done, and you want to play the game. So just because you go to the game doesn't mean, oh, now I got to not play hard for the next, you know, 10 games, 9 games. You know, you want to play hard up until the last game. You know, you're on camera, you're on film, guys are watching you. Mm-hmm. Whether you have NFL aspirations or not, you know, you're a guy that we're going to look at and say, all right, is he supposed to be a starter? Because we have talent here and we have depth, and if you can't get the job done, someone else will, you know? So I think after we lost, we just want to go out there and prove to the other teams that we can still play, we can bounce back, and we can have that fire. You know, I gave a little speech, you know, after the game, and the guy took me around with it. You know, I don't think, you know, this whole season here at Penn State, you know, I really rallied them up a lot because they knew what it meant to play football, whether you're winning or losing. If you love the game and you have, you know, a true, genuine heart for it, you're going to go out there and practice hard and play hard and just have fun.
Okay. And, you know, looking back during your time there at Penn State, you played on some really good teams under Joe Paterno. You know, but your team was never able to beat Iowa. I mean, I remember that 2008 season. That had to be really painful for you guys. I mean, you start the year rattling off 9 consecutive wins, and then you lose that heartbreaking game to the Hawkeyes where they kicked that last-second field goal. I mean, what was missing from your team that prevented Penn State from, you know, beating teams like Iowa and Ohio State even?
Actually, I wanna correct you a little bit on the Iowa comment. We did beat Iowa the year previous to that, and it was we actually had a really good game. That was my redshirt freshman year, and I also played in that game. We beat them that year, but then these past 3 years we haven't been able to beat them. You know, I would say, you know, for teams like Iowa and those teams, they're just like us. You know, it's hard to beat yourself. You know, they have great defense and they run the ball well, and both of those teams, you know, do what we do, and you know, that's just the way, you know, the ball drops. You know, win some, you lose some, and you know, we beat Ohio State, you know, in 08 when we went to the Rose Bowl, but then we couldn't beat Iowa, you know. So it's just one of those things where, you know, it's a tough conference, and those are the best teams in our conference. So if we were to lose anybody, it would be, you know, guys that can sit there and go toe to toe with us. And like you said, you know, lost in a last-second field goal. You know, games like that are tough, but you're going to go through that and realize this game's about inches, and, you know, sometimes it's going to go your way, sometimes it's not. And we just haven't had the ball rolling our way, you know, but that, you know, didn't stop us from, you know, fighting and seeing what else we can do.
No, yeah, I stand corrected on Iowa. You did beat them in 2007. It's just that, you know, I took those losses so hard that you kind of remember the losses more than you remember the wins.
Yeah.
But, you know, talk a little bit about your former coach, Joe Paterno. You know, what's it like to be around him on a daily basis? And, you know, what people want to know is, how involved is he in coaching the team now that he's 84 years old?
Being around him every day, you learn how to come to work every day, and you learn longevity, and you learn just the day-to-day aspects of football. You know, he's been around the game for so long, and you watch him in practice, and you watch him game plan, and you have meetings with him, and you realize that he's just a ticking clock. You know, he just goes and goes and goes, and he has this certain schedule he follows every day, you know, and it's worked, and it's a great formula for success. And when you realize that, you know, football is easy if you put time into it, and that's what he's done, and that's why he's been so successful, and that's why, you know, he's been around it for so long, you know. But being around Joe is cool. You know, a lot of people want to say he's grouchy, but, you know, at that age, are you really going to smile every day? You know, he tells a lot of jokes. He's always cracking us up and, you know, making fun of us and telling us old stories about, you know, back in the day, and really letting us in his life, you know, which we all appreciate, because being in the game for so long, he has so many stories, and he's been through so many eras of football. You know, just being around him, you know, you just want to soak up everything, you know, and you know, that's how it's been. It's been, you know, a delightful time, you know, watching him go at it, and then having all the guys come through, and, you know, guys come back and talk about Joe, and we all say the same thing and have the same attitude about him. You know, he's just one of those guys that you're always going to remember, and he only has one game, that's go.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely seen it all. You know, I imagine, you know, some things look so new to you, you know, and he's just there. He's probably seen the same thing happen like 5, 6, 7 times already. So, yeah.
There's times where he's not even looking at the play, and, you know, the offense would be struggling, all the defense would be struggling, and out of nowhere, I'll say, you know, I want you guys to run these two plays, and we get a first down, and then next play, the touchdown, you know, and I remember sitting on the sideline one day, and the offense was kind of struggling, and out of nowhere, Joe said, I want you to run this lead power, and after that, follow it with the reverse, and the coach, you know, they didn't get into the screen, but they kind of wanted, you know, what was he getting at, because we were getting killed with, you know, the other play, and we ran a lead again. Ran a lead, got 3 yards, ran a reverse, and went for a touchdown, and we all looked at him like, okay, now we see what it is. You know, he just had that knack for the game. He's been around it for so long. You know, he can predict what coaches are going to do, you know, 3 or 4 plays before they even do it, just because he knows how, you know, coaches are and their demeanor and the flow of the game, you know. So that's just a great, you know, thing to have on your side, to have a coach that can sit there and change a play or two, you know, in an instant, and automatically, you know, come up with positive plays and have your team morale go up during a game. You know, and really changes the morale and the focus of what you want to attack.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely a living legend. Now, you know, you are more of an undersized guy at your position. You check in at about 298 pounds, give or take. You know, do you feel that, you know, when scouts, you know, call you like too small or too undersized, do you think that the size factor is overrated? I mean, what do you think, what do you think is the most important tool or quality a defensive tackle should possess to be successful?
That's actually a really good question. I would say the size was a problem, and I've got that a lot, that I'm an undersized guy, but I would just say heart and determination. You know, I've seen, just how we talk about, you know, Anthony Adams, you know, you can't measure a guy's heart and how much he wants to work. And you know, if you put the film on, I'm not getting blown up, I'm taking on double teams, I'm not getting thrown off the ball, I'm not, you know, being humiliated. So for my side to be that much of a question, you know, just, you know, really motivates me to prove me wrong. But yeah, you know, the film doesn't matter, you know. I've been through, you know, the battles and the trenches, and I've also seen, you know, big guys, you know, take a beating, and small guys take a beating, you know. That's just part of playing defensive tackle. You're gonna get, you know, pinned down sometimes, and you're gonna have some rough plays, no matter what size you are. If you keep on fighting and you keep on working hard, you know, you're gonna show up, and it's shown up for me, and I play well at this size, and you know, I understand I'm gonna have to get a little bigger for the NFL, you know, but that's only about 5 to 10 pounds, which I can definitely play at, and you know, it's one of those things where you just gotta measure the guy's heart and how much you want to play that actual, you know, position.
Yes, I agree, and you know, tell us about the interview process that NFL prospects have to go through. I mean, personally, what were some of the questions that were being lodged at you? I mean, what were you being asked during the East-West Shrine Game, for example?
Man, that was really a process with the East-West Shrine Game. I mean, once you touch down there, you got a ride to the hotel, and then they just, you know, they kindly say, hey, come to the room. We want to, you know, let you sign some things and check some things out, you know, luring you into the room, not knowing that you're about to answer about 400 questions, you know, within, you know, a 3 or 4 hour radius and multiple tests, you know, 100 questions, and then you have to do a different kind of, you know, test with 100 more questions, then a different test with 200 more questions, and it was really an eye-opener, but, you know, It was kind of expected, because you knew they were going to come in here and try to drill you and ask you a lot of questions from, you know, were you ever in trouble? You know, have you ever had any run-ups with the law? You know, how many kids do you have? Are you married? What are your goals for the NFL? What are your goals from 10 years from now if you don't make the NFL? Just, you know, just many questions from, you know, how old you are to what's your favorite, you know, color. You know, just a lot of little details to analyze you and really get to know you personally, you know, without spending the 18 years to get to know you, because they can't, you know, obviously spend that much time with you, you know, before the draft comes up and, you know, all the free agency. So, you know, they have multiple tests that test your IQ and test certain things where they can kind of get a feel for who you are and what kind of person you are.
So you felt that most of those questions were relevant then?
Yeah, of course, you know. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, growing up in Staten Island, you know, I grew up not too far from you. I'm a Brooklyn guy. Were you more of a Jets fan or a Giants fan?
Oh, man, growing up, I was actually a really diehard Cowboys fan up until about high school. I fell in love with football. I think I went to my uncle's house for Thanksgiving, and the first game I ever watched was a Thanksgiving game with the Cowboys. I think, most the Lions, and I was in about fifth grade, and I watched Emmitt Smith run the ball, and I just loved how he played, and ever since then, I always wanted to play running back, and I was always, a really big guy, but I got my shot, I've always just been in love with football. A lot of my friends, gave me a lot of grief, for not picking their favorite team. Me, I just love to watch the game, and I love to see guys compete, and I just love the game of football, so I didn't really need a team to root for or cheer for. But, as I got to college, I left New York, and I started to, have a real strong love for New York team, just because that's where I'm from, and other guys were from their hometown, so now I'm a Bills, Jets, and Giants, diehard fan.
Yeah, yeah. And, when you watch the NFL on TV, and I'm not asking you to compare yourself to anybody. I mean, you don't have to do that. All I'm asking you is, are there any guys out there that pop out at you who you try to learn from? Are there any players out there that, for example, have like amazing technique that just jumps off the screen and you say to yourself, I should maybe incorporate that move into my repertoire?
Most definitely. One of my strong points also is to just soak everything out of the game of football. Ever since I was in high school, I've been watching the defensive lines play, and guys that stick out are, Warren Sapp, most definitely, Tommy mm-hmm. Harris. We have the D-tackle from the Cowboys. Ratliff, I'm sorry. We have
Jay Ratliff, yeah.
We have both D-tackles, both William guys from the Vikings. I really watch anybody that's on TV, and if you're good and you're doing moves that I don't do, or you're doing a certain technique that I have to get better, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to take that from you. I think that's also helped me too, just watching all types of D-tackles, play and guys get after it, So I don't have any specific guys that I watch. I just watch everybody. But yeah, I have the favorites like Warren Taps and the Tommy Harris's and the Tank, Johnson's and guys like that are, more my style of play, and just learn off that.
Yeah, and tell us about your workout regimen during the off season. What are some of the things that you've been working to improve on?
I would just say my size and strength, as being an undersized guy, and they want to prep on that a lot. I've really been hitting the weights, even more, even harder, and getting really good healthy weight, not bad weight, and really working on that, and just doing drills and keeping myself sharp, doing D-line drills and pass rush drills, and really just keeping the tools that got me here sharp, so that when I do train and when I do, finally get to a camp, I can really show off and show guys what I have.
Yeah, and do you keep in touch at all with any former teammates in the NFL? Sean Lee, Navarro Bowman, and what are those guys telling you about the NFL? What are they telling you to be ready for?
I actually keep in contact with pretty much all the D linemen that left. I think Coach Johnson did a great job of having, his past guys and his former guys and his present guys really, be a tight-knit group. I still talk to spots, like I said. I talk to Ed Johnson. I talk to Chris Baker. I talk to Jared. Me and him are still, best friends. I talk to, Maurice Evans, and from time to time, maybe, I talk to, pretty much everyone that's left, and, from time to time talk to, different positions like Sean Lee and Navarro, but mostly the D-line guys, stay real tight-knit. Tom will come back a lot. We talk to Tom a lot, and it's just one of those things where, we learn from each other. They'll come back and show us a bunch of moves that we can, do on, guys that are in college and, vice versa, and just build them off of that. And mostly when I talk to them, they just say, this is a job. You can't take things personal. You got to go in there, work your butt off, and show the, the team that you're at, what you have, and your abilities. It's not time to be shy or doubt yourself. You're there for a reason. So most of the guys just tell me to keep working hard, keep your head up, and just know that it's a business, because at any day or time, it can be taken away from you. So enjoy it. If you're there for a year, enjoy it. If you're there for 30 years, enjoy it. If you're there for 10 years, enjoy every moment you have, because it's a blessing. Football and to play NFL football is a dream, and it's a blessing. It's not a right that you should have. It's one of those things where you should never take it for granted and use it every day. And then when it's over, it's over. But when it's there, enjoy it. That's really what they tell me.
Yeah, you brought up Maurice Evans. I kind of lost track of him. And by the way, Maurice Evans from Brooklyn, New York, by the way.
Yeah.
I kind of lost track of him. Who's he playing for right now?
He's currently not playing for a National Football League team. I think he's trying out with the Canadian team, but
okay.
he's definitely still training, staying in shape, and staying positive.
Okay, yeah. And, you know, talk about a little bit about your pro day, you know, where your fastest 40 time was a 4.77. You know, I believe at the time, I think I read something where you said the pro day is an overrated event. You still feel that way?
Yeah, you know, I still feel like if you put the pads on and you can play the, you know, one thing that I've learned, you know, is the best critique system for somebody is to put the tape on. You know, even in high school, my coach always said the iron is kind of alive, and I've carried it with me the whole time. And you can get a guy that, you know, benches 40 reps and runs a 4.2 and, you know, does amazing with the test, but when you put him on the field, he's only mediocre. You know, if you can get that guy to use all those abilities on the field, that's when you get a great play. And that's when you get a Ndamukong Suh. That's when you get a Jaren Isaac. You know, when guys can go to the combine and bust out great numbers and also put it on the film, you know, because I've seen guys have horrible numbers, you know, like Tom Bali, but then, you know, he just led the nation in sacks this year. And then you have guys that have great numbers and they haven't produced something in the NFL. So I think, you know, the pro day, yes, it is overrated. It is something to gauge guys. You know, if I have the same playing style as another guy, or if our stats are the same, or if a team feels like we're kind of the same player, and you want to look at our pro day stats and then judge off that, you know, then you can do that. But I don't think a player that blows a combine away automatically should, you know, get the first round, you know, draft pick. It's what he did his, you know, years in college, and then what he did as a player, you know, to try to level out and then put him in a slot. You know, so I think your film is your biggest measure of who you are.
Yes, very true. And what do you offer an NFL team in terms of your character? What type of attitude will you bring to the field and into the locker room as well?
You know, I would definitely say being a leader, you know, being a positive role model, you know, just being a guy that is going to work his butt off, you know, from whistle to whistle, you know, always be early, always show up, you know, be a positive guy and really work hard and push the fencing, you know, and try to get some playing time. You know, I'm a firm believer in competition, and I'm a firm believer in, you know, for a team to really play hard and to fight hard, they have to kind of love each other in a sense and really bond, you know. And I would just bring hard work, you know, hustle, determination. You know, I was a captain there, so I'm bringing some qualities, and, you know, just be a positive role model and be a positive person in the locker room, you know.
Yes, and football is the ultimate team game, which makes it the best sport around, in my opinion. And, you know, before we wrap things up, Ollie, we do something here called three and out. I'm going to be asking you three non-football questions. So the first question, first down, what artist or music group do you listen to in order to get yourself psyched up for a big ball game?
Oh, man, this is a great question. I have a lot, but just to start off, I would say a little bit of Kanye West, a little bit of Jay-Z, a little bit of Drake, a little bit of Lil Wayne, a little bit of Wale, a little bit of Big Sean, a little bit of Eminem, a little bit of DMX, a little bit of a lot. You know, I really, if you were looking at my playlist, I have about 300 songs, you know, just full of random artists that have really inspirational, upbeat tempo songs that really get me motivated, you know, and really helps me get that mindset that I'm about to go on a war and I'm about to play a game and really get after it. You know, I don't have any really set a couple of guys, but just name a few I did, you know, but I think music definitely helps me get in the rhythm of going out there and wanting to play on.
Yeah, I love that versatility there. And the second question, second down, everybody's favorite question, name the female celebrity you would most enjoy sharing a romantic evening with.
Oh, man. It would be so unfair to name one. I mean, that...
I can rattle off a couple of names, you know?
Okay.
We got room for a few.
Definitely on the top of my list would be Ava Mendez.
Yes.
I think she's amazing. Yeah, Charlize Theron.
Okay, good one.
Who else can I name here? Laura London. Also...
Laura London. Is she a singer or something, Laura London?
Laura London, she played in the movie ATL with T.I.
Okay.
And she was also in... I can't remember the movie, but yeah, she's definitely an amazing girl. I just can't remember most of her movies. She's only in a few, but she's mainly a model slash actress. There's some new women that, you know, I've just started, you know, having crushes on, but I can't remember their names, so I'm just going to stick to those few women right there.
Good choices, at least the first two. I don't know about that third one. Third down, your favorite movie that you never get tired of watching.
Another one was, I'm going to name a few then. Coming to America.
Okay.
Fifth Element, uh-huh. Anchorman. Man, I really wish I could sit here and really think of them because I'm going to leave some really good ones out. Let's see what else. Cop Out, Training Day.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, all of Will Smith and Denzel Washington's movies. I mean, and Bruce Willis. Those three guys, I can watch all their movies all day, and they really never get tired of any movie they're in because they're such great actors.
And Ali, because you've been answering those questions so well, I'm going to add a fourth question. Fourth down,
we're going to make it
four and out instead of three and out. The last question, your favorite athlete outside of football?
Wow, that's a great question. Oh, man. Can I name three?
Go ahead.
It has to be Shaquille O'Neal just because growing up, my first love was the basketball. I only grew to 6'1", and I was 6'1 when I was younger, so I thought I was going to be about 6'8", 6'10", and become a famous basketball player, but I wasn't, But, Shaquille O'Neal was, somebody I admire and I still do. Kobe Bryant, just because he's so aggressive with the game. I mean, he's the one player that reminds me of a Ray Lewis. He's out to kill every game, and he's such a great player. And I'm keeping all in basketball, and I'm also going to say LeBron James. He's such an athletic freak, and he, just knows how to play the game the right way, and pass the ball and shooting and scoring and being a team player, but then also being that great of a player to shut the game down like a Kobe, So I'm going to say those three players I admire the most. And, they're all in basketball. Not that I don't love, any other sport, but I think just watching those guys play, really, gets me inspired to, do other things. And really, I enjoy the game of basketball.
Yeah, as a New York guy, I never thought you were going to mention LeBron James after he basically turned his back on the Knicks, But, we can't all be perfect. All right, Ali, listen, I want to thank you for giving us a few minutes here. I want to wish you luck going forward, and I really hope to see you in a Jets or Giants uniform down the road.
Oh, man, any uniform for me would be amazing, But yes, definitely, be on team, that would be great. Any uniform would be great for me, but I'm just happy to give the opportunity, and thank you for, giving me your time also to answer questions and really, just get to know me.
No problem, Ali. Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye.